It's 7:43. This is a West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Some residents living near the Mountain Valley Pipeline have been watching it for several years. Now that the pipeline is carrying natural gas, they say they'll continue to do so.
But the real life-threatening event for our neighborhood is that a pipe split open under pressure.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. In May, former legislator Doug Scaff was taking down signs for his Secretary of State campaign when he felt a sharp sensation in his foot. He only realized what happened when he looked down and saw a copperhead. By the time he got away, Scaff was bit four times by two separate snakes. 1 month after the incident, reporter Jack Walker caught up with Scaff about what happened and the status of his recovery.
All right, Doug, can you walk me through your visit to Boone County and what happened leading up to your snake bite?
The day after Election Day, May 15th, just like I do every year, I go around and start taking my campaign signs down. I ran for Secretary of State, so this year I had signs all around the state. Had a lot of signs out. I take pride in putting them up myself with other people, and also I take pride in taking them down as fast as we can every year. But this is the first time I ran outside of Kanawha County, so I had some signs down Route 119 in Boone County and Danville, right off the exit, 119 in Danville. And I was with my 8-year-old son, and he was just, you know, going around taking some signs down with me, and wherever we could, he was out to school that afternoon.
And that's where you encountered the copperheads, right? What happened next?
I go up, I grab the sign, and I pull one side out. It was a 2-foot by 4-foot sign, a little bigger than normal. And long story short, I felt like I tagged my shoe on like some barbed wire or some glass or just something sharp, like a nail or something. And it ripped the top of my shoe on my right baby toe of my shoe. And I didn't see anything. I just thought I snagged it, but it kind of stung for a minute. It stung and it wouldn't go away. I was like, man, I just thought maybe I like cut it on something, but then it wouldn't go away. And then about 15 seconds later, I take the other side of the sign down. And I'm like, oh man, I jammed it on some barbed wire again. And I look down and this time it wasn't barbed wire. Of course, I see a snake. I see this snake, which is now known to be a copperhead. Didn't at first know what type of snake it was because it all happened so fast, but it was a good-sized snake, about 3 inches round in diameter.
How did you react when you realized that you'd been bitten by a snake?
So it latched on, and what I did was I swung my leg around. I remember grabbing my quads, swinging my leg around, and banging that snake against the shrub right there, trying to get it to fall off my leg. And so finally did, and I like hobbled down about 8 feet back down to the ground, and I kind of scoot myself on my butt over towards my car, and I lean my head back, and I bang on the car. My son had just gotten back in the car, and he gets out. He's 8 years old. I give him my phone, or getting ready to, you know, I was like, hey, again, I need some help, buddy, stay away. I said, snakes, snakes. And I said, don't go over there. And so he was pretty cool and collective, so he was getting my phone from the front seat so we could call 911.
And then once first responders had arrived on the scene and gotten you into an ambulance, how did they respond to this and treat your snake bites?
Within probably 25 minutes, I think, we got to the ER. And then there, they were quickly tried to service me and get me this, anti-venom stuff. Profab or something. I don't remember. It's like some anti-venom stuff. And what that does is it stops the, it's supposed to stop the spreading.
And did that work?
It did stop the spreading that first day. Okay. But the morning I woke up, and it started spreading again. Started going up my knee, up my leg, through my thighs, through my quads, all the way up to my waist. Same discoloration, same burning sensation. It was the worst feeling I ever felt in my life.
So then how did they get the spreading under control?
They ended up giving me 6 more doses of that stuff. So I had 10 vials of the anti-venom.
And now that you're out of the hospital, what has your recovery process been like?
This is week 4. And what does it feel like now? So I'm still taking pain medicine and all that. I've been pushing it and walking, standing up on it, putting on it, hobbling around. I'm, you know, still supposed to use a walker and wheelchair when I go long distances, but I've really pushed it, trying to get my strength back. But it still hurts. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it's my ankle is really hard right now. My muscle feels weird, and I don't know. The top of my foot, it just feels like it's it swells up and it goes down, it swells up. The bottom of my foot is still bruised. But they say my muscle, it can take a long time before my muscle gets back to normal, if it ever gets back to normal.
Well, this sounds like a really difficult experience, and I'm just wondering if there's anything you've taken away from this that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, you know, it's just funny, because like, I wasn't even thinking. Like, think of so many campaign signs you saw out there, and people just stepping in the same grass that I did and pulling those signs out. They just don't even think. Think about how many people are cutting their grass this summer, or doing the weed whacker, or hitting a golf ball. I mean, it can happen to anybody. And the thing that I really want to stress is, if anything you can do to help people, it's the kids. Please tell your kids to be careful when they're out there playing in the yards and the grass. I mean, if my 8-year-old would have got hit 4 times, I don't know if he could have survived it.
That was former delegate and Secretary of State candidate Doug Scaff telling reporter Jack Walker about his attack from a pair of copperhead snakes and his recovery process. You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It's 7:49. In the weather forecast for the Mountain State, we're in the heat wave and it's going to continue for at least the next week. Partly cloudy and hot today with a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm late in the day. Highs will be in the mid-80s to the mid-90s. The humidity will make it feel 4 or 5 degrees hotter. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s to the mid-70s. Tomorrow and Wednesday, partly cloudy both days and hot with highs in the mid-80s to the mid-90s. Support for WVPD is provided by Solar Holler, bringing clean energy to families in across West Virginia. More at solarholler.com. Some residents living near the Mountain Valley Pipeline have been watching it for several years. Now that the pipeline is carrying natural gas, they say they'll continue to do so. Curtis Tate has this story from Bent Mountain, Virginia.
It isn't easy to get a clear view of where the Mountain Valley Pipeline burst during a water pressure test in early May. So Robin Austin, who lives nearby, guides a reporter through the woods where the Blue Ridge Parkway connects to U.S. Highway 221. At the edge of the fence, a giant trench comes into view. It's filled with workers and heavy construction equipment. They're replacing the damaged section of pipe that burst on May 1st.
This is a site where we've had water problems in the past. Just the topography of this land and the way the watershed is, it runs off. It's a wetland right against 221. And it enters the culverts and goes to the streams.
The day the pipe broke, Austin called her neighbor, Kathy Chandler, and told her brown water was pouring across her property. Chandler reported it to the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality. That's how the public first knew that the pipeline test had failed. The federal agencies that regulate pipelines said little about the incident. But on June 11th, they approved the pipeline to begin carrying large volumes of gas at high pressure from West Virginia to Virginia.
Once the gas is in the line, we don't have any control now, but at least we have action we can take.
Chandler, Austin, and other Bent Mountain residents have been fighting the project for a decade. Last month at the Bent Mountain Center, a converted school building, they said they still worry the pipeline could affect their safety, their water quality, and their property values.
I don't want to be known as the girl with the muddy creek.
That's Chandler.
We've had horrible repeat offenses to our water, our surface waters, but the real life-threatening event for our neighborhood is that a pipe split open under pressure.
Equitrans Midstream, the builder of the Mountain Valley Pipeline, has repeatedly insisted that the failed pressure test poses no safety risks. On May 10th, Todd Normain, an Equitrans senior vice president and general counsel for the pipeline, wrote to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that the incident demonstrated that the testing worked. He criticized pipeline opponents for asking the commission to delay or deny its approval to begin service. Bent Mountain sits on a plateau just inside Roanoke County. It is about 17 miles and 30 minutes down a twisting road to Roanoke, the most populated city in southwest Virginia. Coles Terry, who lives in Bent Mountain with his wife Teresa, or Red, said he's not convinced local emergency response agencies have the materials or a plan for a fire should the pipeline fail again. Bent Mountain residents are miles away from a municipal water connection. Most rely on wells and springs.
If it does catch fire, the county has got $50,000 worth of foam somewhere.
They won't tell us where.
But they won't tell us where. They won't tell us how they plan to get it up here. They won't tell us how they plan to get it to where the fire is raging.
Coles Terry, his brother Frank, and sister Liz were part of a court-ordered settlement of more than $500,000 for the pipeline easement on their property. A U.S. district judge cut the award in half, but the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals last month ruled the Terrys should receive the higher amount. Mountain Valley Pipeline appealed, but the 4th Circuit denied the appeal. The Terrys were among hundreds of residents the pipeline builder sued to gain access to their land via eminent domain. Many tried to challenge the decision by FERC to grant the pipeline the authority to use eminent domain, but were ultimately not successful. Pipeline opponents had been successful in challenging the project's permits, bringing construction to a halt for prolonged periods. That all changed a year ago when Congress enacted the Fiscal Responsibility Act, a spending deal that required the completion of the pipeline. One of the pipeline's chief supporters, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat turned independent, attached the provision to the bill.
This is a great day for American energy security and even a greater day for the state of West Virginia.
That was Manchin at the end of July last year after construction resumed on the pipeline. According to Chandler, Austin, and Terry, it resumed at a pace they had not seen before.
If it's a matter of national security, then it should be the safest pipeline in the country. It should absolutely be the tip-top safest. And with this recent event, that cannot be assured.
We could take him just quickly up to Bottom Creek, and we might see where they're doing some restoration from there. I don't know.
On Liz's.
On Liz's.
Yeah, we can do that.
You want to do that?
Austin and Chandler showed some other places in the area where the pipeline crosses farms and wetlands, and also where it begins to ascend steep slopes. Chandler says the topography and geology of Bent Mountain makes it a risky place to build a pipeline.
Bent Mountain Plateau, our neighborhood, has every geohazard known to pipeline construction. We have the steepest slopes, we have rocky soil, we have highly erodible soils, we have water crossings, we have shallow water, we have a seismically active zone.
Coles Terry says the pipeline's builder and its regulators haven't listened to residents' concerns.
We're just the landowners. You know, we're just the people who we've fought this thing. Everything that we have said would happen has happened. Everything we told them that was bad and wrong has come true. We've had people, you know, way smarter than me come in and tell them the same thing. But the pipeline, MVP, the companies, they have one job. One job. That's to put this pipe in the ground. And that's all they care about, putting this pipe in the ground.
The residents have taken time away from their families to campaign against the pipeline and have lost loved ones along the way. They say it also has affected their health.
My blood pressure will never be normal again.
In some places, the break in the landscape is so subtle, you wouldn't even know a major piece of fossil fuel infrastructure was just below the surface. The Mountain Valley Pipeline might not be visible, but it is on the minds of the people of Bent Mountain. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Bent Mountain, Virginia.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This has been West Virginia Morning.